This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Nice to have you listening today. The cover of Milwaukee Magazine's March issue will probably start a lot of conversations this month. The photo of two brides in the Milwaukee Art Museum's Wendover Hall promotes a story on same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. But the magazine isn't wading into the moral or philosophical debate over same-sex marriage, which is not legal in this state, though a recent lawsuit seeks to overturn the ban. Instead, the magazine examined what legalizing it could mean from an economic standpoint. Writer and assistant editor Abby Callard is with us in the studio now. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Let me start with a bold assertion you make at the top of this article. How do you quantify the potential economics of the wedding industry alone if same-sex marriage were legal in the state?
Yeah, so basically what I did for this article is I looked west to a research institute called the Williams Institute at UCLA College of Law. And they have produced several reports for other states. They have one for Minnesota, they have one for Illinois, they have one for Washington State, sort of a lot of these states that were expected to legalize same-sex marriage. So I sort of figured out what they did and then applied that to Wisconsin.
And the total that you came up with, this is a pretty staggering number.
Yeah, it would be just over $43 million.
And that's over the first 3 years.
That's the first 3 years, yes. So that's looking sort of how you get the number of couples was looking at the 2010 census.
Well, right. That was my next question. The idea that there are some, I guess it's 9,179 same-sex couples who might get married in Wisconsin and that 4,681 of them would likely do so within 3 years if it were legal here?
Yes. And that's, you know, a number that was based on what the Williams Institute used. And that was based on experiences in Massachusetts. Now, the thing to note, I think, with that is that, you know, there's 9,100 couples that marked this down on the U.S. Census. I think, as anyone could probably guess, there are probably more couples than that. It's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to then mark it down on a census form when, you know, there really is not necessarily a reason to do so, I think.
And you talked to a number of same-sex couples, and some of whom have already gotten married and some of whom have done other things, and others say they wouldn't necessarily get married right away, even if it were legal here.
Right. And I think it's a very personal decision, I think, to get married or to not get married. You know, there's no surprise that same-sex couples vary in that reasoning, just like everyone else does. I think the big push and the reason that a lot more couples are leaving now is because of the DOMA case over the summer. So now there are federal benefits that go along with being legally married, whether or not your state recognizes it.
How has the state's attitudes towards lesbians and gays legally evolved? I mean, you're right, there has been some push and pull here, right?
There has. I mean, we were one of the first states, if not the first state, to have anti-discrimination laws. But, you know, then we have had a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage since 2006. There was a Marquette poll last fall, I believe it was in October, that for the first time showed a majority support for same-sex marriage. And so you can see that support is changing a little bit, but repealing a state constitutional amendment is no easy task.
But this article doesn't necessarily take on the politics of it. It really just takes on the economics of it, right?
Exactly. And that was the point. I think the politics and sort of that religious aspect are things that have been really well covered in the state. And, you know, the reason that I had pitched this article originally was that the then mayor of Minneapolis, R.T. Ryback, came to Milwaukee and said, you know, you can't get married here, but, you know, we want to marry you in Minneapolis.
And not only was he the mayor of Minneapolis, but he's also an ordained minister.
Right.
So he was
right.
Actually performing
yeah,
some
so
of these ceremonies.
Yeah, so he performed, I think it was 46 ceremonies that first night. And, I remember reading that story and thinking that's really interesting. You don't really think about it from an economic perspective. I mean, obviously, marriages and weddings are huge business. You know, take one look at a wedding magazine, you can see that. But I think he really sort of understood from the get-go that this could be something really great for his state economically and, you know, sort of trying to maybe show people in Wisconsin that it could be something great for Wisconsin as well.
Well, and what about the other states, other neighboring states where same-sex marriage is legal? There's Iowa, and I've forgotten. Is
Illinois? It's tricky because I think the Cook County courts just ruled on Friday that people in Cook County can get married. I think statewide it takes effect June or July 1st.
But obviously these are two states that are neighboring to Wisconsin. Are they also looking at this from an economic standpoint?
I think so. And, you know, I mean, Iowa also has same-sex marriage. So now there's three states, every state that touches Wisconsin except for Michigan, which also has a constitutional amendment banning it, now has same-sex marriage. And so I think you sort of have to look at it from an economic perspective, and I think people are. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously other reasons to do this than the economics, but sort of an interesting take on it, I think.
You also write about what's at stake if Wisconsin's ban remains in place, the idea that some couples could, rather than just traveling out of state to get married, choose to move elsewhere or choose not to move here in the first place. But it must be difficult to tease out that kind of data.
Yes. And so there's, you know, there's the $43 million that the wedding industry would add. But then there's this much, much, much larger question about how employers in Wisconsin can attract employees. You know, and are people going to want to move to a state where they don't have the same rights as other people, especially when, you know, right now 17 other states have this? That's a tough question to answer. And, you know, tried to answer that in the story. But obviously trying to quantify a number is probably next to impossible.
Well, and at the same time, there do seem to be many major employers in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin who do offer domestic partner benefits.
Yes, they do. And, you know, the interesting thing is sort of looking at the tax implications of that. And again, you know, while I was reporting this story, people are still trying to figure this out. And so if a couple is in a domestic partnership in the state of Wisconsin, they can get these same-sex partner benefits, but they're still taxed on those because they're considered an additional benefit not allowed by law. If they are legally married, they are not taxed by the federal government on that benefit, but they are still taxed by the state government on that benefit. So people are filing their taxes now for last year, and everyone's trying to figure this out.
And you talked to at least one same-sex couple who has decided not to get married predominantly for that reason, right? The tax benefits.
Mm-hmm. And they're from Wisconsin. They've lived here forever. They've been together for almost 20 years. And, you know, the point that they were making is nothing in their relationship is going to change. So until they sort of get that benefit, they don't necessarily see the reason to get married because, you know, they've already committed their lives to each other.
Do you get the sense that the Wisconsin wedding industry is anxious for something like this to happen here?
You know, I think they're all excited at the possibility. You know, no one that I really talked to was sort of willing to take this very big political stance on it. I think they would all welcome the extra business, but I don't know if it's sort of tricky, I think, because you know, you want to be very welcoming, but I think it's, you know, you don't necessarily want to take that stance. And a lot of companies as well, you know, I talked to people at Rockwell Automation and, you know, the company itself takes no stance on same-sex marriage, even though they're providing these same-sex benefits.
But you did not necessarily quote anyone in the story who stands in obvious opposition to same-sex marriage. Why was that?
I did not. I think this is one of those articles that, you know, you can do in a magazine. It's definitely a story with a point of view. I think it has a clear mission. And I don't think that quoting people in opposition necessarily would have added anything to the article.
I imagine you were working on this story for quite a while. How much of a direction shift did you deal with when the ACLU filed its lawsuit challenging the same-sex marriage ban earlier this month?
Honestly, not a whole lot. You know, sort of the idea of the story was looking at this economic benefit. Something that I changed a little bit is when I was talking to people, you know, at Fair Wisconsin, you know, their executive director said that this might be 10 years away in the state of Wisconsin. And so that obviously changed very quickly. You know, I believe I spoke to her late January. And so, you know, right before we went to deadline, you know, ACLU announced this lawsuit. And then, you know, they also announced this big legislative push to get the ban repealed. And so I think that things are changing in the state much, much faster than anyone expected. There wasn't a huge direction change after that happened. It was sort of just, let's, you know, insert this little paragraph because this is happening now.
And you also write the caveat that lawsuits don't necessarily happen much faster than legislative approaches. So there's a lawsuit that's been pending in Oklahoma since 2004.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's 10 years. And so I think they're sort of coming at it from both sides and seeing which side wins is kind of my take on that.
Well, one of the interesting sidebars to this is the other aspect to the lawsuit seeks to overturn what's known as the marriage evasion ban, which most people are probably not familiar with. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so basically it's, you know, a statute, and it says if you leave the state of Wisconsin to enter into a marriage that would be illegal in the state of Wisconsin, you can be fined up to $10,000 and serve up to 6 months in jail. And this was originally put on the books to discourage underage marriages. And so it wasn't necessarily or definitely was not written with same-sex couples in mind, but the language is broad and it could be applied to same-sex couples.
But there's no evidence that it has been used
Yeah, there's no evidence that it has been. I don't think there's really necessarily an appetite to use it for that, but it's just sort of this, you know, another sort of aspect of it that I wanted to touch on.
There is a fairly bold picture that accompanies this article. It is actually both in the article and is the cover of the magazine mm-hmm. as well. This is, I assume, a staged photo?
It is, yeah. It's actually sort of funny. When I originally pitched the story, I came up with this sort of mock cover, which was, you know, two brides posing in front of the art museum. Obviously, we shot this in January, so outside was not even close to an option. I think it was maybe like 2 degrees when we shot this photo. You know, and the reason that we decided to go with a staged photo was because, you know, the piece itself is hypothetical. So it's looking at sort of this what if nature. And so we had toyed around with the idea of finding a real couple, you know, a real lesbian couple to be on the cover, and decided that sort of one thing to talk about your marriage as a political choice. Not everyone, you know, when I got married, it wasn't a political choice. To talk about that in a story, but then also to be sort of the face of that on a cover of a magazine, I think is another thing. And then, you know, we also would have done their makeup, we would have done their hair, we would have put them in these wedding dresses that we wanted them to be in. And so it really sort of would have been staged anyway. So we decided just to go 100% staged and do it with models. And that's, you know, that's the decision that we made. And I'm expecting some people will not be necessarily too thrilled about that. But that was sort of the artistic vision behind it.
And if nothing else, you do quote at least one, I guess, bridal boutique manager or owner who says that she has seen some increase in business mm-hmm. among people who are getting married elsewhere but choosing to buy their wedding gowns in Milwaukee.
Right. Mm-hmm. You want to buy a wedding dress where you can actually try it on. So even if you're going to get married in California, you're probably going to want to try it on a little closer to home.
What's the lingering experience from reporting this story that is going to stick with you?
You know, I really – and this is something that always strikes me about journalism and whenever I do the story, but really just sort of the sources that are willing to open up their lives to me. I mean, I was at so many people's houses for, you know, an hour and a half talking to these couples about both their weddings and, you know, the taxes and their jobs and sort of just, you know, all of these stories that they have to share and really just how open people still are. And that's always amazing to me.
Sounds like you had an interesting conversation with R.T. Rybak as well.
I did. I actually went out to Minneapolis. So I talked to him in a little coffee shop in South Minneapolis. And he's an amazing guy. He has really interesting ideas. He's very well spoken. You know, we only had about 25 minutes to chat, but it was a great interview.
Well, Abby Callard, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Abby Callard is an assistant editor at Milwaukee Magazine. Her article on the potential economics of same-sex marriage in Wisconsin is the cover story in the March issue. We'll take a break now and then look ahead to this weekend's Academy Awards ceremony with our film contributor when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.